Hi everyone, and welcome back on the couch, the English series from this podcast. My name is Tania Allaire, and I am your host. Today, I thought it would probably make sense for me to tell you a little bit more about me in English. So I've pretty much already done this episode, not quite the same. The perspective is, I think, a little bit different, but the story or the essence of the story I have already told in French. So basically, if you have just started to listen to this podcast, this episode will help you kind of get to know me a little bit better. So if that sounds interesting to you, I would love it if you would stay and give it a try. Hope you enjoy. So hello everybody and welcome back on the couch. Today I am going to share a little bit more about me. I've already shared that I'm a life coach and therapist. I have always, as far as I can remember, really like 7-8 years old, I've always wanted to help people. I didn't know how exactly, of course, back then, but I knew I was meant to help people, let's say that way. I've always believed that it's what I'm meant to do. And specifically, I've always wanted to help people struggling with their mental health. It's kind of where my heartstrings are attached to, let's say. So being a life coach, I help people who are trying to learn how to navigate life's waves with a little bit more ease. And I help them to release old and often limiting belief systems, emotions, patterns, and stories that are keeping them away from the life that they deserve, from their ideal life, right? So that's kind of my job, in a very small nutshell, but that's kind of my job. And most of all, I help them to not feel so alone on their journey out of suffering. What I haven't shared yet, at least not in this English series, is that I had to take a break from coaching a while back because, well, plainly said, I wasn't well enough to help anybody else. See, those life's waves that I previously mentioned, well, I started to drown in them myself. Let's put it that way. I had a lot of really deep soul searching and healing to do. And honestly, there was a time during which I had no intention of ever coaching anyone again. Seriously. I was at a point where I truly thought that the break I had planned would and maybe should be permanent. What happened was, after practicing for a few years, so I had a few clients, basically I just started to feel really, really tired. Nothing major. I was just tired, but really tired. And although I still loved coaching, I still loved helping people and being there for them, while I was doing the work, like the actual work, I still couldn't picture myself doing anything else. I started to feel burdened by having to do the work, if that makes sense. So before a coaching session, I started to feel this heaviness and almost didn't want to do it. But the moment that I saw my client, or really just even the moment that I started to zone in and get ready for my client, that heaviness always disappeared. Every single time. And so it took me some time to realize what was happening because I could always count on the fact that everything seemed fine whilst I was working. Unfortunately, I was looking at it on a surface level only at that time. On paper, it was completely normal for me to be tired. I also had a full-time job. I had 3 kids with everything that entailed. And I was coaching a few nights a week on top of that. So add in the few chores that were on my side of the to-do list. And well, of course I'm tired. I'm a working mom. That's the deal, right? Doesn't mean anything's wrong. I just have a little bit too much on my plate right now. That's all. And that went on for months. And the thing is, I just couldn't admit to myself even the possibility of something being wrong. It was almost as if on top of the to-do list, on top of everything that I have to manage, now I have this thing, this tired thing. This is just another thing to pile on. And I just didn't have time for it. I couldn't have it. So I set it aside. I stuffed it down, like a lot of other feelings, really. So it was basically kind of a, yeah, I don't have the time for a burnout right now. Okay, thank you. So let's just schedule some rest time next month or next year. That was the sort of deal. As if I had the control there, right? As if I was the one making that decision or making that choice. Now, after this had gone on for a while, and I would love to tell you that I finally stopped myself and made the decision to start caring for myself, but no. What happened was, fortunately, all my clients were doing well at the exact same time. So all at once, all of my clients, for different reasons, I mean, they were doing well, so they didn't need me. So I didn't have an appointment set up. The agenda was completely clear, which just about never happens, by the way. It doesn't. If I remember correctly, this was either in the spring or summertime, and well, at least in here in Quebec, Canada, where we have 4 very distinct seasons, this shift is quite common. A lot more people seem to raise their hands for help, or at least mental help, during the fall and winter months, especially surrounding the holidays, and they tend to not request help as much in the spring and the summertime. Now, this is by no means verified or even proven. It's just my humble observation, and at the same time, it kind of makes sense. You know, sun's coming out, everything's in bloom. I mean, even seasonal depression, it's just everything seems to be a little bit lighter, a little bit more fun, and that helps. I mean, it's a mood enhancer in and of itself. Just, you know, the weather and just the season have that effect on us. So none of my clients were requesting an appointment, and so I took it as a sign and basically put my entire practice on pause. I just couldn't fake it anymore. I couldn't downplay the fatigue, and I honestly feared it would start to affect my work. I don't think it did. At least, I really, really hope it didn't. Now, I did just mention that I feared that it would affect my work, not me. See, I still didn't care enough about me at the time. But my work, I'd always cared deeply about, had so much respect for, and of course, just the idea that I could in any way, shape, or form hinder my clients was a no-no. And so for them, I basically decided, okay, I probably need maybe 3, tops 6 months off. I can do that. And of course, just real quick, this is nothing to do with finance for me because I already have my full-time job, right? So coaching is a sideline, but it's not even a question of needing that money. So it was really easy for me to just really rationally make that decision. So tops, we're taking 6 months off. We'll be fine. Well, it took me 6 years. 6 years. I still had the full-time job, although I wasn't winning any performance trophies. Let's just be honest. Okay, not at all. But I was doing it, you know. And of course, still had the kids, the chores, and, you know, life, just in and of itself, life to deal with. And mind you, no one knew what I was going through. Still. Because I was still downplaying the experience with myself. So I was still trying to do everything else. I was still not asking for help or just even dare admit that I might need help. And actually, I was probably doing even more in order to escape the feelings of guilt and shame that I was experiencing and the incredible sense of failure stemming from the feeling like I'd fallen short in all areas. But I mean, I wasn't coaching anymore. I couldn't coach. And remember that coaching is the only thing that I can do. It's the only service that I can offer. So now it was about admitting to myself that I couldn't do all the things. And it was starting to show. At least that's what I thought. I should be able to do everything all the time without complaints and a huge smile on my face because so many other women are doing all of it. And then some. I see them. You see them too. They're all over Facebook and Instagram. So at that time it was, what is wrong with me? It's not even that much. Why am I so tired? Why can't I do the things? Really, the only thing that had changed at that time is that I wasn't coaching anymore. So in a very real way, I now had lost my purpose. I'd stopped doing the only thing I'd always felt drawn to and that I'd worked so hard to get to do, which in essence didn't really help matters at all. Yeah, I had a little less on the agenda. I had a little less to care for. But I also had a little less to care for, you know? So very little in my life would entice me at that time. I didn't have anything that lit me up except for the kids. And that's beautiful in a very real way. Because I did have some amazing moments during those 6 years. And most of them, if not all of them, were quality family time. So thank God. Thank God I had those. Thank God I have and I had those kids. But the thing is, my entire life, my entire being, my entire purpose was now on them. And that's a really heavy burden to carry for kids. It's not fair. I wasn't happy, and the only thing that could make me happy was my kids. And you know, the other thing, that stigma that we are all hopefully trying to obliterate, that not feeling our best mentally is somehow linked to a weakness of character. Well, take that stigma and crank it up quite a few notches for anyone in the mental health profession. And I don't think we talk about that nearly enough. Because let me tell you, it is real. And for those helpers out there who have been tirelessly working through this pandemic, seriously, my heart goes out to you tenfold. I honestly can't fathom how most of you were still standing in the midst of it. Hats way off to you. Now back to this particular niche stigma. I can't have a mental health issue. I help other people with mental health issues stigma. That expectation that we often put on ourselves. Don't get me wrong. For me, it was totally me. But that expectation that I believe society also places on us as coaches, therapists, healers of any kind. I mean, really anybody from the field is real, and it's a huge problem. It's basically part of why I vowed to myself that once I'd climb out of this hole, because I always hoped. I didn't always believe I would, but I always hoped I would. So I promised myself that once I'd climb out of it, of that suffering that I was in for so long, I'd tell my story, but the real story. I wouldn't just say that I intended to be an authentic and honest person, both personally and professionally. I'd actually embody these qualities. Because this stigma is dangerous. There are people out there whose purpose is, again, the same, to help anyone and everyone that might need it, that are exhausted. Nobody's Superman or Wonder Woman, right? So, of course, they're going to make mistakes. It's normal. And they might not be able to kind of raise their hands, hey, I'm not okay, because, well, the fear of being judged is just so overwhelming. Yeah, you can't need help if you're offering help. Basically, that's and the gist of it would be, yeah, if you've decided to help other people, you need to have it together always. It doesn't work that way. And in a very real sense, if you're helping people, especially these past few years, you probably need more help. Because, you know, we love what we do and we're hopefully quite qualified and good at it, and we are making the world a better place. Great, that's amazing. It can be a heavy load to carry day in and day out. Of course it can. So basically, yeah, I was afraid of that stigma. I was afraid of being judged. But if I'd ever coach again, my thinking was, even in the midst of this fog that I was in this extreme exhaustion, any potential client that could be turned off by my story and how even as a life coach, I too suffered from anxiety and depression and had experienced a burnout to the point, I mean, where I did not want to get out of bed some mornings, let alone help anyone else going through similar difficulties, it just wouldn't be the right client for me. And I the right coach for them. That's it. And in truth, telling my story has helped me clear up so much of that shame. I didn't expect that. And it really did. And actually, it's been amazing in creating great connections with people going through, or having gone through, or knowing and loving somebody that's going through the same hell. And the clients who still do choose me today to help them go through whatever they're going through, usually they tell me that they actually prefer being supported by someone who not only understands the struggle, but is completely without judgment, having lived through the exact or very similar situation. And some of them have actually said, you represent possibility for me. I love that you're being honest about what you've gone through, and I love that you've come out of it. So now I know I can get through it too. It's so affirming in a way, because it feels like not only can I coach now, even after having gone through those 6 years, but I actually think I'm a better coach because of it. I wouldn't have been able to say that a few years back. Again, honesty. But now that I'm really out of it, I can absolutely say that I'm glad that I went through it. Of course, I can help people in that dark hole now much more efficiently, much more lovingly, most importantly, because I know what it's like. So I have no regrets, and I'm really, really glad that I didn't try to hide or kind of, I don't know, change or tweak my story a bit. This is what happened. It's what happened. And I really, really think that I'm better now. And the only real power that I have today is, of course, to take care of myself and hopefully make sure that I never go through that again, but also to tell my story. In itself, my story hopefully could reach someone going through something similar, or again, someone who knows somebody that is and could help. So it's almost my duty, right? To help people. I mean, I'm talking to you right now thinking I might be talking to somebody who needs to hear this, who needs to hear this message and could realize this is exactly it. I'm tired, and I'm that kind of tired. If the idea, or if the mission in a way, is to help people, then that's what helping people means. It's what it looks like. Not being afraid of being vulnerable and transparent and actually owning up to your story. And the reality is, that's kind of also what I go for when I'm choosing a coach or therapist for me as a client. I'm actually turned way off by somebody who seems to always have it all together, no matter the context. Because, well, it can't be the case, first off. I mean, I'm not saying that it's inherently dishonest, but how can you always be on top of everything these days? How? It's impossible. I mean, I tried. I really, really tried. It turned out really bad for me. So I would much rather choose someone who's authentic, of course. And if the person that I'm hiring actually has experience going through something similar to what I'm going through, but has gone through it, even better. That's amazing. That's who I'm choosing. When I think back at what I went through and how broken I felt and how I felt like no one would get it. I mean, I don't remember ever feeling that alone in my entire life. This entire podcast is meant to reach people who are now feeling as alone as I was. Basically, I've probably described this podcast in 25 different ways by now, but in essence, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to offer. Nobody should feel that alone, ever. If it's your choice, that's one thing. But feeling alone, feeling powerless, feeling like it's never going to change, it's never going to get better, that hopelessness, when you're alone in it, is dangerous. When I was in it, not only did I absolutely believe, and mind you, I'm a therapist and a coach. I mean, rationally, I know first what's going on with me, but I know that this is normal. I'm just not allowing it for myself. But the other thing is, I thought for sure nobody could help me. I was beyond help in some way. And just admitting to the world that I was struggling would mean losing everything. Like, it was very dramatic. I am a very dramatic person. So for me, it was, okay, nobody gets it. Nobody can help. And if I say anything, that's it. So of course, you swallow it back down, right? Because, I mean, who would speak up? If that's the story that you're invested in, I mean, why would you speak up? And when I think back, I just wish that somebody would have seen, felt just how alone I was. And how not okay I was, and would have just reached over to me, you know, kind of took me aside and told me that I wasn't just tired, that I really needed help, that would have asked me what I needed in that moment, that I probably needed to stop and acknowledge what I was going through. That in not validating how bad it had gotten was just making everything so much worse. That it was okay to stop, that it was okay to rest, and that I'd be okay. Now, frankly, I don't know how open I would have been if that had happened, if somebody had took me aside and said, are you okay, but really meant it, and really had the time and the love to receive me in that moment. I don't know if I would have been able to open up because I was terrified. And because that voice, you know, that ego telling me to shut up was so noisy, was talking so loudly, I don't know that I would have been able to let that person in. All I know is I would have loved to have had the chance. But, I mean, it's really important for me to stress this. I have a huge, amazing support system. That's the other thing. I'm privileged. I absolutely understand that a lot of people out there are literally alone. Again, that's why this podcast exists. Because I can't imagine. Like, at least, again, rationally, I knew if I needed the help, if ever I raised my hand, there were people there that did love me. I just couldn't allow them in. I couldn't admit to myself that I was at that time the one that needed the help because my identity was completely wrapped up in I am the helper. That's how I feel worthy of love. That's who I am. It gets really, really slippery when a part of your identity gets shaken up like that. It's really hard to let go of it. It really is. And I didn't. And it took me so much longer to get out of the hole because of that. So I guess this episode is my way of offering that to you. Because maybe there's just one person out there who will just stumble on this rambling new podcast host and hear exactly what they need to hear at exactly the right time. And I am so privileged in a way that I can now tell you that it did get better for me. I need to try to reach that person in any way that I possibly can. If you're going through a tough time and you're finding yourself in a similar state right now, it's okay. It's okay to let go. It's okay to raise your hand. It's okay to admit that you're not perfect, because nobody is. Even the Wonder Woman's on Facebook and Instagram, nobody is. Nothing you can do could ever change that fact. You could never do enough to become perfect. Because in a way, me just kind of struggling on that treadmill, which is, I think, the perfect image to kind of encompass my entire 6 years before I had to stop, before I was forced to, like my body just could not do it anymore. It was me trying to be perfect at everything, all the time, and failing miserably, of course. And the more I tried, the more I failed, the more I failed, the more I tried. I mean, that's the treadmill, right? And there's nothing that I could have done to achieve that. It was never enough. I mean, it's never enough. I'm never the mom that I would hope to be, ideally. I'm never the life partner that I would hope to be, ideally. I'm never the coach. I am never the daughter. I'm never the sister. I mean, there's always something to work on, to fix, to better in some way. And it gets exhausting. If you're tired, you need to rest. And if you're burnt out, you just need more rest. And you could even need help. And I honestly believe that most of us wouldn't need for our systems to start shutting down if we learned to recognize the signs before we got there. It makes sense. Now, that's basically the best way I have to take care of myself. I don't let it get to that point. I can never let it get that bad ever again. There's kind of this line in the sand that I know that I can't cross. That's basically one of the things that I've gained from this burnout. There's this very clear line in the sand. So when I'm tired, or even when I feel like I might have, like my energy is a little bit lower, I tend to stop right there and ask myself, what's going on? What do I need? Is everything okay? Okay, yeah, I'm stressing out about this, this, this. Okay, let's just focus on that, or let's just put that aside. And I'm juggling too many balls at the same time, or something's irritating me, or something happened with one of my kids and I'm feeling guilty. I'm kind of trying to stuff that down, and there's always something. So what I've learned is to stop and validate what I was going through because I know the snowball effect. And honestly, I'm terrified of it. I'm terrified of it because when I'm in it, it's too late. With the anxious thoughts and the depressive tendencies, I mean, it's just, I can't get there. It's my reality now. I know how I work, at least. So I've just told you about the few gains from my burnout. And that might sound a little weird. And of course, I wouldn't have told you during the burnout that this was some fun time. But now that I'm out of it, I'm actually so glad that it happened because of that line in the sand. Because now taking care of myself is a must. It's not something that I'm waiting around to have permission for. It's not something that can come secondary to anything else. It is priority number one. I can never forget that. I can never let myself slip again because I know what will be waiting for me. And I might not know every day at all times of the day that I'm this amazing person who deserves the best and who's so lovable. And I'm getting there. I'm working on it. But I do know that in no way do I deserve to go through that again, ever. That I know. I just need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself all the time. My burnout was one of the biggest blessings of my life. It truly was. I'm grateful that my body was wise enough to step in and shut it all down. In a very real way, stopping and resting was the only way out for me. If my body hadn't shut down, I would probably still be on the treadmill. I don't think. I'd love to say that I would have at some point shaken myself up and said, you know what, this is too much, enough. But if it wasn't for my body finally saying, you know what, no, I'm done. I wouldn't have stopped. I know myself well enough. I wouldn't have stopped. I was too ashamed. I just hope that if you are open to receiving it, you allow yourself to hear that it's okay. You know what? You've proven yourself time and time again. Okay? You've done it. We know you can do the things. We know that you're capable of being there for everyone around you. Now, it's time to prove to yourself that you are just as capable of prioritizing what you're going through and taking care of you. And the other thing you just might have to do is face the fact that some people, and maybe many people around you, would much prefer that you keep your priorities on them and not spend your finite time taking care of yourself. And that's not okay. I don't care who it is. It's not okay. That's not love. If you're drowning and someone you value, somebody that you care for and that you love is by the side of that pool asking you for a sandwich, things need to change. I'm making jokes, but not really. If the pressure you're feeling is coming from outside, from someone else, then please hear me when I say, no one should be asking this much of you. And if they are, I hope you give yourself the grace to look through those relationships. I mean, sometimes it's a really hard truth to look at. It's a hard truth to face. But maybe there's some cleaning up or some releasing to do there. But usually, we're the ones putting the pressure on ourselves. Usually, the people around us that love us don't know what we're going through. And usually, if they did, they'd be the first to say, I never asked this of you. I had no idea. You seemed fine. Okay, I'll do more, or I'll stop asking for this, or, you know, I'll be more patient. I mean, right? Because that's love. And more often than not, we're putting all this pressure on ourselves because of old childhood stuff. We're carrying old stories, old beliefs, and letting thoughts bounce off the interior walls of our minds that are telling us that we're not worthy as we are. So we need to be really, really, really good at what we do. And therefore, we need to do lots and lots of stuff. I mean, what else can we offer, right? If we believe that we are unworthy of love, that on a fundamental level, who and what we are isn't enough, we're bound to find ways to remedy that. And if it's at the expense of our health and well-being, well, so be it. We want to feel loved. We want to feel appreciated. We want to feel valued and validated. So fundamentally believing that who we are is not enough for those needs to be met, we need a plan. And the plan looks like, well, I'll be indispensable. I'll do so much for so many people. Well, I'm assured their love. That is a warped way to go about life, isn't it? But it's all unconscious. We don't know that we're doing it most of the time. And really, once you stop and get off the treadmill and kind of dare to look at yourself with just a smidge of compassion, you know, that compassion you so readily offer everybody else, then you realize that you probably actually like most of who and what you are. And even better, you might just really be impressed not only by how much you've been able to accomplish, but how far you've come, especially considering the inner demons you've been wrestling with this entire time. So please, love yourself enough to get off the treadmill. Just try it. And you know what? Maybe once you finally get off, you'll never again want to get back on it in the same way. And that has to be okay too. Giving yourself the grace of putting your own needs in front has great side effects. You'll be so much stronger because of it, and so much more loving. I know it's a real cliche, I know, okay? But we can't give what we don't have. And let me just tell you, I had nothing else to give at the end. Nothing to anyone. I was playing a decent game, but I was completely running on empty. And I just know that had I been open to hearing that then, I could have bounced back much earlier and with much less anguish. Because not only was I hurting myself tremendously, but eventually I was also hurting the very relationships that I was so desperately trying to aid, nurture, and let's be honest, hold on to. Because the resentment starts to build up. I don't care who you are. The resentment will start to build up. That fake attitude with the fake smile of, nope, I'm good. Yep, I've got it. Of course I'll be there. Often, if not always, hides some deep-seated anger here. It did for me, at least. Trying to be everything for everyone else isn't noble. Please. Let's just get that part right at least. Ultimately, I was doing it for me, not them. I was trying to secure my place in their lives. Everything was about that. Like I said, I was trying to become indispensable so no one could ever want to leave me again. I was trying to make them love me. I mean, that's the kicker, isn't it? We often believe that we're being and doing this selfless thing when in fact, I've never been in a more egotistical energy in my entire life. It was all and always about me and that wounded child that just hadn't healed yet, trying to get by, trying to get love. I would just invite you to be conscious of that voice that might be telling you that this all sounds well and good and everything, but that it doesn't apply or it can't apply to you or to your situation. Because in reality, you're not good for anybody if you're out of the game. So why not try to let go of the facade? Just be open to receiving the truth that most of that pressure you're perhaps placing on your own shoulders was never meant to be yours to carry. Allow yourself to get back in touch with that space of being with life and less in the space of the doing. Allow yourself to slow down. Allow yourself to breathe. Allow yourself to say no. Allow yourself to pivot and fail, or even fall flat on your face. None of it matters in the grand scheme of things. That's another thing that I've learned since. Because you only have one life to live. And I don't know about you, but I'm never letting mine slip through my fingers like that again. Ever. After years of tearing myself apart, and constantly telling myself the absolute worst things. Things that I would never have said to anyone else. I know that never again will I abuse myself in that way. And it all basically shifted for me with a simple decision. I made a choice. As scary as it was, I started to set those boundaries and let the chips fall where they may. That's what I did. Resting in the knowing that the people who truly mattered, who actually loved me for me and not what I did, would not only be okay with that, be able to respect those boundaries, basically, but that they would be happy that I was finally taking care of myself. And that's exactly what happened. The earth didn't stop spinning. The kids actually got a lot more resourceful. That was a very nice side effect. The resentment subsided, and slowly but surely, with a lot of inner work and healing, I started to get better. I started to see the light at the end of a very, very long and dark tunnel. I started to choose to love myself for who I was and not what I did or accomplished. And I made the choice to never again let my insecurities push me to the point of exhaustion. That's basically it. When they rise up, those insecurities, because yeah, they still do. They still will. I welcome them. and release what I no longer want to adhere to. I know that I don't have to let them dictate how I live my life from here on out. It's a choice. And I'm here to have fun. I'm here to enjoy every single day that is gifted to me and share and meet amazing people and marvel at the beauty that is constantly around us. That's what living is. Now, for 6 years, I wasn't doing that. I didn't have access to that. So now, I'm taking that time back. I've taken my life back. Those things on my to-do list that won't get done today, ultimately, they're not what matters. Am I going to bed marinating in a good feeling or not? Because that's what matters. Now, coaching and therapy have been a must for me in that aspect. But the important thing is to find a way, or many ways, to start to love yourself again. That's basically what we're talking about. And if you're in the throes of this unhealthy and soul-crushing cocktail experience of perfectionism, of constant self-criticism, self-loathing, and extremely draining fatigue, please know that you're not alone. And it is okay, it is normal, and even intended for us to need help at one point or another. Make sure that you can always count on you. Make sure that no matter what happens, you're there for you first. You know that overused analogy of putting that oxygen mask on yourself first? Well, it totally applies. It's probably overused for a good reason, actually. And that kind of summarizes how a once burnt-out coach finally chose herself and started to live again. And if this resonates with you, I really hope you do the same. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please come and join us at The Pact 2022. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Your questions and comments will always be so appreciated, and the links will be in the description down below. A few months back, I was invited on an amazing podcast my friend Masako hosts. It's called Why Not Meditate? And we basically spoke in length about how meditation was absolutely one of the best tangible ways I used to start to clear up the fog of mental exhaustion by reducing the noise and slowly getting back in touch with who I am at the core, nurturing this connection with my true self. In many real ways, stillness saved my life, or at the very least, my sanity. If this topic interests you in the slightest, I highly recommend you check her podcast series out. She is amazing. That link will also be in the description down below. I thank you so much for being here. And until next time, take care and have fun.